is we will select the candidate we want to be our leader. What a wonderful time to reflect on what it means to be leaders in the kingdom of God as followers of Jesus while still living in the world. So as I was thinking about that, what our slogan might be as a church, not just the Church of the Brethren, but the capital C Church, Vote Jesus 2020. Vote Jesus 2020. Vote Jesus 2021. What does it say out on the sign there? Maybe it says, celebrate Jesus always. All kinds of things we can do to preach with our lives. Who do I answer to? That's the question we all face in life, no matter where we're at. When we're children, we look to our parents. When we're in school, we look to our teachers. When we're at work, we look to our employers. And when we're at church, we look to our leadership, i.e. the staff, our committees, and so on. In our retirement years, not that I would know that yet, but we look to doctors, health advisors, investors, all sorts of things we look to. And yet, as Jesus spelled out in Matthew's gospel here in our passage this morning, leaders are wonderful, but they are not all-knowing. There's only one leader, and as we follow him, we must practice what we preach. Now, before we begin, there's two important qualities of Jesus I want us to think about. Jesus faced difficult pressures from leaders in his day. He had to minister and teach and preach when people said not to do it. There were no referendums or voting machines, but still there was laws to take and make and obey. When he was advised against doing it, hey, a ruler threatened to kill him. He still did it anyway. Remember, as a child, Herod said, wipe them all out. And Jesus still preached. And when even his own parents tried to stop him at one point when they found him preaching as a child in the temple after they went back to find him, gosh, he still preached. Jesus knew to who he belonged and to who he answered ultimately. But that didn't mean it was easy or he faced less pressure from authority. One other thing. Jesus respected authority, even if he didn't always agree with it. At no point in Scripture does Jesus turn away from his opponents or members or mockers. Instead, he faces them head on with the love and mercy of God, still respecting them, but still preaching the word. So here's the big difference of authority in Jesus' day. Jesus' final authority is God. And if it came to serving one or the other, we know who he would choose. What's our choice? But Jesus, throughout his ministry, encouraged people that in order to reflect the love of God to people, it means respecting them at all points, if humanly possible. And of course, that means authoritative figures or the lowliest of lowly, no matter who we're around. Jesus wants us, with him in our hearts, to practice what we preach. He wants everyone to be able to look at us and say, they say they're Christians, and we see it. We love being with them because when we are, our lives are better. We feel something different, something rare. We feel respected, like we're taken seriously and our position matters. I agree. So in our lesson this morning, we have something to talk about. We have some people Jesus is warning us about. But nowhere in here does he say, you get to disobey them. Or the law they set. Why? Because through the Lord and the law, he says, the law is established. And the law of the Lord includes some of those sometimes annoyingly difficult things we have to do, i.e., respect leadership, be fair to everyone, not demand more money than is ours. Handle it honestly. That's it. Take all 10 commandments in Exodus. And really, you could say they are laws the rest of the world can't possibly disagree with. And really, if we do all of those commandments, we'll not only be respecting the law, but we'll be practicing what we preach as followers of Jesus, even if our times become more and more complicated, confusing, or conflicted. I love what Jesus says in Matthew 5:18-19. Truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches them will become great in the kingdom of heaven. So friends, it's great to obey the law, period, the law of God. And if we do it, our reward will be great in the kingdom of heaven. So it should be our joy to obey the law and encourage others to do it also. In our passage this morning, as throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus is critical of the Pharisees, but it's not because they keep the law or make it. In one case, Jesus criticizes the Pharisees for preferring their traditions over God's commandments to honor father and mother in Matthew 15:3. And he's critical of their actions only because they do not practice what they preach. Alone, their teachings aren't a problem, but in their practice, the observance of the law becomes something they demand, not demonstrate. They list all this stuff and they just don't do it themselves. For the Pharisees in this case, the world's law, their world's law becomes a burden falling on the shoulders of others, while the Pharisees themselves skate by, still being front and center, and just don't do it. Friends, Matthew characterizes Jesus as an excellent teacher because he interprets the law with an eye to God's larger vision and love for humanity. The Pharisees are merely an illustration Jesus gives as people who just don't obey his interpretation of the law, yet they want to criticize everybody else for not doing it. Jesus teaches others to keep the law in a way which also means the demand of God's justice and God's mercy applies to everyone. And his actions are very consistent with those teachings. Throughout Matthew's gospel, we've seen Jesus practicing the law, but still preaching with his life of love. He keeps the Sabbath, a holy Jewish practice, while bringing God's holiness to people in Matthew 12:9-14. He honors the Sabbath and feeds the hungry in Matthew 12:1-8. And he curses, but cures the lepers. He encourages people to not see them as unclean. And he sends him to the priest in Matthew 8:1-4. He sends all those people. So friends, Jesus, who addresses the disciples and the crowds in our passage, wants everyone to remember three things in my mind. And I won't spend a long time on them. They're simple points. As we live in the world, we must be aware, be respectful, and be a servant. Be aware, be respectful, and be a servant. All of those things go together as we follow Jesus. So first, Jesus wants us to be aware of who the Pharisees are. And he wants us to be aware we're going to be around those people. These are people who don't practice what they preach, and they're going to want to be front and center of everything. They're going to be hypocritical. The laws don't apply to them, or so they think. Also, the laws sometimes they set out can seem really intense, and it's not going to be fair sometimes when you're dealing with any authority. Remember, the Pharisees are just an example. In the church, we can get that way, right? Sadly. Spelling out the rules of Jesus. So, we think the way it should be. Spelling out the rules for people to obey. Those maybe that haven't heard it. And instead, it scares those people. And it turns them away. And that still doesn't mean we don't confess our sins or repent as followers of Jesus ourselves. But it means we tread carefully with God's love and mercy as we deal with others, bringing them closer to the law and love of the Lord. And anything we encourage them out there to do, in short, we also must do in here. We must be consistent. We must practice what we preach. Jesus also warns that the Pharisees who sit on Moses' seat just aren't always going to be trustworthy. We need to be aware of that. Not every authority figure is going to sadly deserve it. Incidentally, Moses' seat, I found, was a stone seat where the priest or priests in the congregation sat up in front and taught the Mosaic Law. Thank you very much for not making me do that every week. Appreciate that. Because that would really hurt my back. And right from the early church in the New Testament, we're told this is not okay. Insistence to the Mosaic Law is not a foundation for the Christian life. And Moses, friends, is a good person. Doesn't matter. Peter told the legalists in Acts 1, verse 10, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? So we must be aware authority figures, even religious leaders, don't know everything. Friends, praise God, no one knows everything. If you know someone who thinks they do, take it with a grain of salt. Pray for them. And pray for you, having a love for them. Praise God as we look to Him and follow Christ. Vote Jesus 2020. We'll always be learning and growing and showing His love. We should find joy that as we are aware and try hard to take that joy away, the world does, we must take off. We must not be taken off track and practice what we preach. I mean, some of the things Jesus says about these leaders are sad, but very true today. All the Pharisees' work is done to be seen by everybody. They wear symbols of the law. They'll have phylacteries, which were small leather boxes with tiny scrolls with the scriptures on them. And they'll have large borders to their garments, so they'll look impressive, like they're adhering to the Mosaic Law. Again, not the law of God, but their law. They love the best places, greetings in the marketplaces. They wanted to be admired. They covet seats of honor at banquets and the synagogues. And they love their title of rabbi. Yes, those Pharisees and religious leaders soak it up. They want everyone to know they obey the law. For those of you that do not know, I do not like the term when those funeral bulletins come out and those official writers list me as the Reverend Brandon R. Grady. I'm just Brandon or Pastor Brandon. That's fine. I almost say I want to be called the Don't Call Me Reverend Brandon. Because we all follow one. Amen? The trouble is, none of it mattered to the Pharisees because they couldn't practice what they preached. All that fame, well, it just goes away. Who cares? We must be aware today there are going to be people all around us who are like that. And Jesus wants us to be aware not to get sucked into their behavior. The second point, be respectful. And it's a really difficult one. We already talked about it a little bit, but Jesus says, we are aware of all those things about these people, but still, you must respect their authority and must respect God has called them and put them in your life for a reason. You must respect the Lord enough to love and respect who they are. So as we vote on Tuesday, we are aware people are not going to live up to everything they promised. I haven't met a politician yet who does that. But you know what? We don't either. There's no Christian who can possibly live 100% perfect. But here's the difference. We practice what we preach. Now, as I think about this, did I always respect my parents, my teachers' authority? If I wanted to do something, hey, I just was going to do it. But as we grow, friends, lack of respect towards authority brings consequences. If our love for Jesus can't be strong, if our testimony of respect just isn't there, then we're not really following him. The big question is, can we respect ourselves enough to make good choices and not be called something great ourselves, but point people to respect and admiring others, even if they don't deserve it? Can we point people to Christ and still respect others? There's one teacher, and that person is Christ. And that great leader commands our ultimate respect as we remember and celebrate his life always. We should not try to be like the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders. We don't need for anyone to see us as great. We must remember we are all brothers and sisters, and one is not exalted above anyone else by titles which are demanded or received. No. We and the church are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored, and they will know we are Christians by our love. What a wonderful mission as we vote Jesus 2020 and beyond. My friends, we must be respectful to one another because Jesus demands it. So as we tread the waters of this world, these confusing times, these fierce fractures, what a chance for us to be respectful no matter what anyone else does. Remember, in Jesus' day, not many knew what to do. And people clearly laid down the law. But Jesus said to the crowds then and to us now, as you live in the world and follow me, practice what you preach. Be aware of who everyone is, but also be respectful at all times. And then our last point, be a servant. Jesus reminds us, we should estimate and measure gratefulness by how we honor and serve others in his kingdom. And that's how God will do it for us. Why? Since we're followers of Jesus, we must remember his preached life and to embody it. He was the greatest among them, but he spoke humbly and lived as a servant of his heavenly Father. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus met with society's lowliest and treated them as treasured. Jesus ministered to the rich and the poor. And Jesus made sure his church, wherever it was held, was one everyone had a chance to be his follower. And love and mercy were the only cornerstones of its mission. As servants of Christ, friends, we are those pillars of today's church, serving him, following him, rejoicing in him, being aware always of who he is, respecting he's there, and humbly ourselves being a servant, always following him. And as we live in the world, Jesus wants us, while we're doing all that, to be aware sometimes we're going to be around people who just aren't good, even if they are an authority. But we must be respectful to Jesus and to ourselves enough to show them the love of the Lord, no matter what they do. Because if we humble ourselves as servants and draw together everyone so far as it depends on us now, the authoritative, the lowly, the rich, the poor, the foolish and the friendless, the popular people, the unpopular, the uncaring, the kind, if we show the love of Jesus, great will be our reward, not only in the kingdom of heaven, but in the hearts of all who love and serve God. We'll be making a church brighter and better because we are practicing what we are preaching. And who knows, if we do all that, maybe we'll become refreshed in God's law and mercy in a way we never thought we could. Maybe if we're respectful and humble towards everyone, something renewing will happen in us, and our joy will show even more. So let's not see it as a job to practice what we preach, but a joy to do it. Because, wow, the one whom we serve and follow is the giver of unending mercy and law, which is unwavering and trustworthy and foolproof. He's the great instructor, the teacher, and our Heavenly Father. Let's practice what we preach. Shall we close with this short old poem with an anonymous author? You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day about the deeds that you do and the words that you say. People will read what you write, whether faithful or true. Just what is it? What gospel according to you? You thought there was more, but there isn't. Dear friends, may our gospel, the gospel we live, be preaching Jesus. May we be in the law of the Lord, not of the world in any way. I think we can safely say the people we celebrated this morning practice what they preached. And we all should want to do that. So as we follow Jesus, may our gospel never be that of a Pharisee, but always of a servant, celebrating Jesus always with the world around us. And as Jesus lives in our hearts, are we practicing what we preach? To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, shall we pray? Open us, dear Heavenly Father, to your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for continuing to guide us, even as we struggle. It's not easy to always live a Christian life, but what a joy to do it. Thank you for anointing us that we might practice what we preach, with those we agree with and those we don't, with those who are respectful right back and those who aren't. May our gospel be your gospel. May what people read in us be the gospel that leads them to you forever. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And in the hearing of the gospel, we remember that in word and in action, we serve and follow Jesus. You're invited to share that writing of the gospel further, informing our church writing that gospel by the gifts we offer. You're invited to share your gifts as you leave the sanctuary this morning, realizing that each gift is part of the penmanship of our action to further Christ's work in this place. Shall we now affirm that work as servants of Jesus in all areas by singing the hymn of reflection, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant?" We'll sing all five verses without repeating the last one. Would you stand if you're able, in body or in spirit?
Servant, let me be as Christ to you.
We sing with joy. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. Born of all we've known together, of Christ's love and agony. So, what gospel are you writing? It's as simple as that. Let's practice what we preach this week, friends. Be blessed and be well. Be aware, be respectful, and be a servant in all you are and in all you do as a follower of Jesus. Amen. Go in peace. Have a wonderful week, BlackRock.